The question today is, does the Lord save you to keep you out of hell? There's so many people today who they'll tell you that I don't want to go to hell. And they make a profession when hell's dealt with, and they've only had a part of the work of Holy Ghost conviction done. Folks, the Bible is very clear in the book of John chapter 16, verse number 8, 9, 10, and 11. About the work of the Holy Spirit, which is the work of reproval we deal so much with. We have many tapes and CDs on this material because salvation is of the Lord. And he said in when talking about the Holy Spirit, when he's come, John 16, 8, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father, and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, you realize something. There's three parts to that. Judgment is one of them. And judgment is involving that of the wrath of God or hell. Hell, which is a place that where a man will go to, and once he dies, if he's not saved, he'll go into hell. It's a burning compartment. In Old Testament time, it's a burning compartment of Hades. New Testament time, it's been emptied because Jesus emptied it at the cross. The paradise compartment, and all's there now is the burning compartment. And he, when he emptied that, he carried paradise in the third heaven. But that is where man goes the moment he dies. The rich man died, and in hell, he lifted up his eyes. He wasn't saved. And yet, they'll come out at the great white throne judgment, hell will empty itself. And then they'll be cast in the lake of fire, which is the eternal abode, which is the wrath of God. All this is the wrath of God. The saints of God will not experience that. But, folks, that's only one-third of that part of being convicted about is a judgment. Sure, you may have a fear, a phobia of hell, and don't want to go to hell, but God says, wait a minute, I've got to work in you the reproval, the work of reproval of sin and of righteousness. Now, the word sin, of course, is singular, and he has to deal with the root problem, which is the sin of unbelief. It's the cause of all the other fruit. You see, the root's what leads to fruit. And if you deal only with the fruit, you're not saved as well. And, of course, then you need to know about righteousness, and that's not doing better, living better. It's Jesus, who you need as the Son of God. You need Him. The Bible said in 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So you see, you need to be convinced of righteousness. You need to be convicted of sin. And you need to be convinced of the judgment that you'll face. He said in John 16, 11, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. Now that's Lucifer who was judged because he sinned. And God knew about that. And the Bible said in Matthew chapter 25, verse number 41, that he made hell for the devil and his angels. God never made hell for man. But when man rejects the life that God so graciously gives him, God has no choice but to cast one in hell. But if all you have is just the fear of hell, you wasn't saved. There had to be a repentance worked where there was a change of mind, change of attitude, change of direction, turning around from sin, self, and the world, and taking up sides with God against yourself. And there will be a repentance involved about the fact of hell. Sure, it may be loom up great in your mind about the fact of hell, but there will be a turning from that to where I want Jesus for who he is. See, the Bible says he saves you not to keep you out of hell, but he saves you for his glory. The Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 12, where he talks about the pilgrims and strangers, and that's what we are on this earth. If we're saved, we're a pilgrim, and we're a stranger. A pilgrim's one who's not... is not at home. A stranger is one not at home, and a pilgrim is one who is headed home. And so we're not at home on this earth. But he said in 1 Peter 2:12 that as pilgrims and strangers, let your conversation be that becometh the gospel. In other words, be honest and upright before the Gentiles. It's what the word actually says. In other words, that means to be upright. Let your manner of living be such that others might see Jesus in your life. That whereas before they saw your old lifestyle, I'm paraphrasing a little bit that verse, but they used to see what you used to have done. Now they behold your good works, and that gives evidence of the fact that there's something real about this salvation we talk about. And as a result, they behold that, they see that, and as a result, it said that they may glorify God in the day of visitation. So when you give evidence of, that's part of the work of reproval, is giving evidence of in your life, by life and by lip, that Christ is real, that Jesus is who you need. But as you give evidence, people, when they're visited by the Holy Ghost with reproval or Holy Ghost conviction or godly sorrow, that whenever that work is completed in all three areas of sin, righteousness, and judgment, then man will be saved. And as a result, that glorifies the Lord. And that's why God created you. He created you that you might glorify the Lord. Isaiah talks about that. We're created to glorify the Lord. Now, just having a scare tactic or being afraid of going to hell is not to glorify the Lord. That's just that many people make professions of faith, because they, it's kind of like a fire insurance policy. And they say they don't want to go to hell, so they'll say, "Lord, save me." And the devil will, and it's a proven fact, when you cry, that there's a hormone released in your body, makes you feel better. And when you get a fear, a real fear of hell, and that's good to have, that's judgment. But when you get that real fear of hell, you'll realize something. There'll be some weeping going on about that. And when you cry, that hormone's released in your body, makes you feel better. And the devil whisper in your ears, relief and release, and he'll call it peace and say that's salvation. Because you cried and you asked the Lord to save you. It's easy to believe it. Some crowd said, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And that's a good scripture if you'll put it in context and understand. No man can call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So many people feel better. The devil deceives them into saying they're okay. And then they say, "Well, I was saved because I didn't want to go to hell." And that's not scriptural. That's not scriptural. And you understand, God saves you for His glory. God doesn't say, the Lord Jesus is not a fire insurance policy, if you please. And that's what many people want to just use Him to keep them out of hell. I heard a story back about World War II about, I think it was General Douglas MacArthur, or it might have been Eisenhower. I don't know for sure who it was, but one of the generals in that war after World War II, they said, "We need to send missionaries to Japan to try to reach them for the Lord." And they went over there, and they said there was a big move of God on the islands, well, I guess the land of Japan, a big move of God. And a missionary, a Japanese, was telling this story later in life, and he said there was that the people said there's people being saved right and left, you had given an invitation and preached the gospel, and give an invitation. There's a whole slew of Japanese would come down to the altar. And when they give the invitation, how many of you are willing to take Jesus as your Lord? And they'd respond to that. Well, that sounds good. Many people don't want a Lord, but yet they were saying, "Take Jesus as your Lord." Didn't say make Him, but take Him, because you can't make Him Lord. He's already Lord, but He needs to be your Lord. And so that's at the point of salvation is where that occurs. So these missionaries were saying, "How many of you are willing to come and take Jesus as your Lord?" And they said people was responding right and left. And they said, "Oh, we're having a great revival. It's just a great outpouring of the Spirit of God in Japan." And this Japanese that was telling this says, "Not so." The American missionary didn't know the mindset of the Japanese. And when he said, "Come and take Jesus as your Lord," that's what the Japanese did. They took Him as a Lord and added Him on as to the other lords that they had. There are other 30 gods that they may have had, or more or less, or whatever it might have been. And that's not salvation. He's going to be Lord of all, or He's not going to be Lord at all. The Bible says very plainly in the book of Luke, chapter 14, that unless you hate your mother and father and your own life also, you cannot be My disciple. That means to love less of your family. And in other words, when you do what the Lord wants you to do, many times your family says, "What's wrong? Don't you love Me?" Sure I love you, but I love the Lord more. And that's what it's going to take for you to be His disciple. Now, that's not talking about some second work of grace. It's talking about being saved. And then He said, "Bear your cross and follow Me and forsake all," in Luke chapter 14, to be His disciple. Unless you're willing to do it, you will not be My disciple. So these missionaries were telling, "Take Jesus as your Lord." And they seeming like they were doing a good thing. But the Japanese is telling, said, "Not so." They're just adding in on to another. So they went back and they redone their invitations and said, after they'd preached the gospel, they'll say, "How many of you are willing to come forward and take Jesus as your only Lord?" And then very, very few would respond to that. Folks, I want to tell you, there's too many people today who just don't want to go to hell and made a profession of faith because they don't want to go to hell. And that's not enough. God says, wait a minute, I want to finish the work of reproval in you and convince you of righteousness, who's the Lord Jesus Christ, so that you might turn, that repentance needs to be worked, and turn from the fear of hell and turn to the... And even though you respect the fact that God should send you to hell, because he said in John 16:11, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Talking about Lucifer, who was the right-hand man of our Lord. He's the archangel, the most anointed cherub. And he sinned, and God, and in essence, sent his own son, or sent his, not his son, but he sent his own right-hand man, the one that corresponded to his son. He sent him, judged him, and he'll have his abode one day in the lake of fire. And so, therefore, if God judged his right-hand man, so to say, his anointed cherub, the most anointed cherub, the archangel, then how do you think you're going to escape? Hebrews said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Now, it's not just the fact of hell. It's the fact of righteousness that you need to be convinced of, and that's Jesus. And so, therefore, we need to see the Lord does not save you just to keep you out of hell. I was talking one time to a man who was a singer, really. He was a singer. He was here, and he'd come by, and he was a young man. We were pretty close, and I'd talk to him, and I was telling him the fact is we sat outside the church one day. He said, I said, that God don't save you to keep you out of hell. And he said, I was saved to stay out of hell. And I said, there had to be a time. It may have been a short time, but if you'll examine your experience, if you're really saved, there's a time you turn from that experience, that the fear of hell, and you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord of your heart, and you wanted him for who he was, not just for what he could do for you. And so, therefore, you need to realize that the Lord doesn't save you to keep you out of hell. Well, he went on, and of course, I don't think the young man's saved. You say you're judging. Listen, if you can't pass the sin test, the judgment of the Word of God, the standard, now you'll not pass it out yonder in the end. And I declare to you this today that God does not save you to keep you out of hell. He saves you for his glory. And his glory is done. He's given glory when you confess you're a sinner, lost and undone, and allow the Holy Spirit to work in you a complete work in the area of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And that gives the Lord glory. And that's why he saves you. This is Edgar Lee Pascal, host of Ask the Pastor, saying good day to you until we meet again on the air or in the air. May the good Lord bless you is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.